Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We welcome in all of our radio affiliates tonight, everywhere, top to bottom, north, south, east, west, everywhere. Sports Grid Radio. Don't forget, the Sports Grid Radio Network starts on Sirius XM in early January, January 7th to be specific. We're also on Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Los Angeles, and affiliates everywhere on top of that. So good to have you with us tonight on the bench. Anyway, Washington wins at 23-17. What stunned me was not just that they led 14-0, but that they only scored a field goal in the second half. I thought Washington's defense played incredible tonight against Pittsburgh, and they put pressure on Roethlisberger. It wasn't like they were sacking him a lot or anything. He threw for 305 yards, two TDs, and one pick. I think one of the things that is interesting is, like, obviously Connor was out with COVID. Snell was in there. They had no, literally, in my opinion, no rushing attack whatsoever. When it's all said and done, the Steelers ran for 21 yards in the game. I mean, that was it. 14 rushing attempts, a 1.5 yard per attempt. Washington wasn't any better. They ran for 45 yards. This was a game where Washington threw for 273 yards, and he was 31 of 46, Smith. And then Roethlisberger was 33 of 53. They both had around a 5.8 for Roethlisberger, a 5.6 for Smith. Roethlisberger threw a pick. Smith didn't. Roethlisberger never got sacked. Smith got sacked three times. So Washington got it done in the red zone. 2 of 3 in a red zone. Steelers 1 of 3 in a red zone. The Steelers turned it over. The Bostic pick. Other than that, Washington had 30 minutes of possession. Steelers 29. Yards, it was about the same. 326 for Pittsburgh, 318 for Washington. That was a huge win for Washington. Same thing. Yards per play, 4.9 for Pittsburgh, 4.5 for Washington. They just went toe-to-toe with them in every department the whole night. And bottom line is, they knocked them off. Pittsburgh's not going to go jump off a bridge. They're 11-1. I still think they're tough. If they can't run the ball, they're going to have problems winning if that's all they do is throw five-yard passes.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. Our good friend Gary Myers, longtime columnist in New York with the Daily News, of course, an author now, several New York Times bestsellers, great books, Brady Manning, you name it. Now he's doing a podcast on Tom Brady called The GOAT. And I got to hear more about that. And we'll get into all the problems with the Jets and the, you know, success all of a sudden of the Giants, which has got people in New York excited about at least one football team. Let's get him on the bench. How you been, Gary? Happy holidays.
You too, Scott. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. It's good to have you back on the show, as always. So tell me about the podcast you're doing, The GOAT.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a journey, you know, taking you from the beginning with Tom Brady when he was a backup quarterback on his freshman high school team in California. The team didn't win any games. He didn't play any snaps at quarterback. Beginning of a period in his life where he didn't feel he was properly respected. You know, he went to Michigan. He started off as seventh on the depth chart. And just fast forward all the way to today where he's trying to get to Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one of the losingest teams, if not the losingest team in the history of professional sports, at least percentage-wise, trying to get them at least into the playoffs for the first time since 2007 and potentially, you know, going deep into the playoffs and maybe leading the Bucs to be the first team to ever play the Super Bowl on its home field. So, you know, in the podcast, Scott, lots of interviews with Brady, Manning, Robert Kraft, Tom's dad, Archie Manning, Lloyd Carr, the coach at Michigan, who didn't play Tom until his fourth year. All kinds of good stuff. A lot of the interviews I did for the Brady Manning book, and it just kind of brings it all to life when you can actually hear the interviews.
So, you know, I had a guy talking to me the other day about this kid Mahomes, of what he's doing in the NFL, and he's, you know, already broken records. He's put up amazing numbers. What he's doing is phenomenal. He won the Super Bowl, won the MVP, everything else. And then this individual said to me, he's way better than Tom Brady. And I said, whoa, slow down. Tom Brady went to 9 Super Bowls and won 6 Super Bowl rings. I don't know, frankly, anyone that it can even come close to that. And that includes Joe Montana, Terry Bradshaw. Now, no one ever talks about Bradshaw, but he went and won 4 Super Bowls and in 6 years. And I know that people pass that over and just, you know, talk about him as a broadcaster. But believe me, I thought he was a way better quarterback than he was a broadcaster. And it bothers me immensely. But when you hear stuff like what I just said to you about Mahomes being better than Brady, what do you think?
I think he's got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's immensely talented. He has more talent than Brady has ever had. I mean, Mahomes is just an incredible player, but when you think about 9 Super Bowls, like you said, Scotty, and then, you know, 6 championships, I mean, that's unheard of. And Mahomes has got 1. And I know this is only his 3rd year starting, so, you know, who knows what's going to be if he's still playing in 15 years. Maybe he's got 7 or 8. But until he can stack them together like – like Brady has, then, I mean, how can you possibly say he's better? You can say he's better right now when he's been better for the last couple of years, but, you know, it depends on the context in which your friend was saying it. If he's saying, you know, he's had a better career, of course, that's ridiculous. If he's saying he's better now, then I would agree with him. If he say he potentially can have a better career, then okay, let's check back in 15 years. But, you know, what Tom has done is just unprecedented. And I'm not sure, as great as Mahomes is, that he's going to even come close to him.
Yeah, I don't. I have a problem with it in terms of people projecting all these Super Bowls. Now, you remember when they won it, they started talking about seven Super Bowls they're going to win in a row. They talked about, you know, the numbers just kept escalating. I mean, I heard guys say, you know, we're going to win it again. Then I heard guys say we're going to win three in a row, five in a row, seven in a row. I mean, it's insanity. The bottom line is, now look, I think he was incredible in the fourth quarter of that Super Bowl. And I take nothing away of his skill. I take nothing away from the contract he signed, which is, you know, ungodly. But I have a real problem where people think that he's going to win, you know, every single year for the next 7 years. I mean, it's just not happening. I just don't believe that for 1 minute. I think he's great. I think there's Kelsey's great. I think Hill's great. And then I really, that's it for me on that team in terms of greatness. You know, like, they're so great that no one can stop them. I think there's three players on the team that are great, and the rest of them, I don't think they're that great. I really don't. I don't think they're they might go this year and win it, perhaps. Do you really think that they're that much better than everyone in the NFL? They're just going to keep winning Super Bowls?
Well, I would say, you know, if you were to ask me right now who I think is going to win the Super Bowl this season, I would put them at the top of the list. But again, you know, that would be two if they happen to do it. Then he's got to win four more. And it's just, it's really hard to sustain it in the NFL with free agency and, you know, players getting unhappy because of their contracts, so they wind up getting traded. You know, Belichick was unique in that he was able to have a continuing changing cast of characters. As long as he had Brady, he made it work. Well, maybe Andy Reid can do the same thing. I don't know. You know, if it happens, it's lightning striking twice. But, you know, let's see, you know, what happens the next time Tyreek Hill's contract is up and whether he stays there. And Tyrann Mathieu, if he's going to stick it out for the long term. And Frank Clark and Chris Jones and all those guys.
Right.
That's what makes it so hard. It's hard to keep your team together. And Bill Belichick, let's say, in my opinion, he runs circles around Andy Reid as a coach. Andy's a great offensive coach. And he was on the verge of losing that Super Bowl down 10 in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Which would have just added to his reputation of being a choker in big games. And Mahomes bailed them out. So I'm not convinced that Kansas City's got the makings of a dynasty.
So I got about 90 seconds here, and then we'll come back and talk more about the Jets and the Giants. But I want to ask you, what do you think of him now, Brady, in this season of in Tampa, of how he's playing and how they look? Because I think they're overrated. I don't think they're that good.
Well, I mean, it's funny, you know, to put it in that, the way you just said it, because I did like a bonus podcast on the Brady podcast that I'm doing. You know, most of it is a retrospective, but I did a real time one today. And Scott, I'm telling you, if you're going to sign Tom Brady, then you should be playing the offense that he's been most productive and comfortable in. And for Bruce Arians to push him into this, force him into this offense of the no risk it, no biscuit. Tom's been throwing the ball down the field more than they've ever seen in his career. And that's not his game. His game is between the numbers, you know, up to 25 yards down the field with an occasional long ball. He has just been chucking the ball down the field, unlike anything I've ever seen. I put 90% of the blame on what the Bucs have done so far, which has been a huge disappointment being at 7-5. I put 90% of the blame on a coach who has never won anything as a head coach, and he comes off as, you know, he thinks he's God's gift to quarterbacks, has a book called Quarterback Whisperer. Let him win something as a head coach first before you anoint yourself in that regard.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, I think Brady is the coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, not Bruce Arians. We'll come back with Gary Myers on the bench.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're talking to Gary Myers, the great author, and now he's doing a podcast, The GOAT, about Brady. And, you know, I couldn't agree with you more about Bruce Arians. I'll just leave it at that. There's really nothing to say. You put it bluntly and best. But do you sense that, because I said one day, and I don't know what he's going to do, but I did say one day on my TV show that, you know, you never know. He doesn't look like he's having fun to me. Like, this isn't working out the way he had hoped, because these things happen. You know, these players like Favre go somewhere else, Minnesota, blah, 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 the Jets, mm-hmm. or Montana goes and plays for Kansas City. And then now this guy's playing in Tampa. You never know what's going to happen when these guys move around late in their careers and finish their careers out. But he doesn't look that happy to me. Now, I could be wrong, but, you know, my thing is, do you sense any semblance of that if it doesn't work out, and let's say they don't make it, let's say they go and lose, let's say they make the playoffs and lose the first game, or they don't go at all, could you see him walking away now because it just hasn't fulfilled him? Or do you think he's going to keep playing?
You know, just to get back to one thing you said before the break, when you said it's like Brady's the coach now,
right?
I think Brady's the general manager, and he'd be a lot happier if he was the coach, because then they'd be running his offense. And I don't think he's going to walk away after this year, unless it's, you know, health related, unless he sustains an injury, and, you know, nobody wants to see that happen. I think he made a 2-year commitment to the Bucs, and as long as he stays healthy, I think he wants to play, as he said several times, until he's 45 years old. Just keep this in mind. They're coming off their bye week. If they were smart, and I assume that they are, they studied everything over the first 12 games that went right and everything that didn't work, and they're going to focus and concentrate over the last 4 games on the things that worked, where they were productive. They'd be stupid not to do it that way. They have a relatively easy schedule coming up: Minnesota at home, Atlanta and Detroit on the road, and then Atlanta again at home. They can, without question, get to 11 wins. This is a team that hasn't been to the playoffs since 2007. So they're learning how to win, because very few players there have ever won before. So this was a mass undertaking. And, you know, I have Jimmy Johnson and Bill Cowher on my podcast, and I said, are they underachieving? Are they a disappointment? And both of them said no, because it's a much harder than anybody anticipated when you bring a quarterback in who's been someplace for 20 years, and you try to make it work right away, especially when there was no off season. So I want to wait another 4 weeks, you know, before we really make a definitive judgment on whether this has worked or not. Because if they make the playoffs, there's been teams that have won 3 playoff games on the road to get to the Super Bowl. And if Brady gets hot, then, you know, like, why not them? these road playoff games will not be as difficult as they've been in the past with no fans in the stands.
Yeah, I don't doubt what he can do. I'm under the assumption that he calls all the plays anyway. Is that true? Is he calling out? So you're telling me that he runs an offense that is not what he should be running, but at the same time, is he calling the plays in that offense?
Well, listening to Bruce Arians try to explain it, it's very vague. He says between series, Brady picks out the plays for the next series that he wants to run. But listen, anybody who's watched Brady play over his career, he never throws the ball down the field like he's been doing this year. Scott, it looks like he's just dropping back and chucking it down the field with having no idea, no idea where it's going, but having no idea whether he's got any separation on the receivers. He's just flinging it. And that's just not his game. It's like the round peg in the square hole or whatever that expression is.
Right.
It just looks like it's more Bruce Arians' offense than Tom's. And when they're successful, it's Tom taking the quick drops and getting rid of the ball. It's him having a running back that it can play action and the linebackers respect them. Ronald Jones is not a bad back. I mean, the guy had a 98-yard run this year. But there's been five games so far where he's carried the ball 10 or fewer times. Arians doesn't have the patience to establish a running game because he's just looking for the big hits. And it's like on the defensive side, it's like a coordinator who's only blitzes because it can result in a sack or an interception. Arians is looking for the big plays on offense, but he's got the wrong quarterback for a quick strike offense. He's never been that way except in the 1 year that he had Randy Moss. And that was 13 years ago. I mean, he's a 43-year-old quarterback who never had an arm like John Elway, doesn't have a weak arm. I mean, he can fling it, but just not in the game that Arians has set him up in. And so whether or not he's calling the plays, I would just go by what you see. And if Tom was indeed calling the plays, I don't think he'd be throwing the ball down the field, 40 yards on the sidelines with such regularity.
You're probably right. When you, yesterday, I guess Boomer was talking on the air that he thought, or I think he's the one that said it, right? That Bill Cowher might be interested in the Jets opening and getting back into coaching. Yeah. When you interviewed Bill Cowher, did you sense any indication that he wanted to get back into coaching at all? Because, boy, does he got a cushy TV gig. Why would you ever walk away from that to get into the stress of coaching in the NFL again?
I know. I think Boomer said it on his radio show this morning. And, I actually asked Bill when I talked to him the other day, whether he would be interested in that. And he just kind of laughed and he told me how much he's enjoying his life. Every time I talk to Bill, he's so exceedingly happy. It's almost hard to believe. Even he lives in Manhattan. He loves New York. He's been married now for a second time, I guess for about 5 or 6 years, maybe longer. I'm not exactly sure, but, right. After the tragedy of his first wife passing away, he's found happiness, and he's pretty much living as much as you can a stress-free existence. He was telling me that he and his wife just love going into the New York hotels and eating dinner because there's nobody around, because people are obviously very concerned about eating indoors. But he says they go in and they have dinner. There's nobody else in the restaurant, and he just loves being able to do stuff like that. Why he would want to give all that up after being away from the game,
right,
for over a decade, I forget what his last year was, like 2006 or 7, why he'd want to give that up for the Jets job and give up a TV job that he loves that pretty much allows him to do whatever he wants to do Monday through Saturday. I don't see it, but, stranger things have happened. And money talks. If the Johnsons are desperate to get somebody with Bill's credibility – and they offer him $10 to $15 million a year, I'm pretty sure that's more than he's making at CBS, because after paying Tony Romo, there's no money left for anybody else there.
There's no money left for anybody else. What did you think of the Greg Williams firing?
I mean, I can't say that I'm surprised after. I mean, that was just a horrible decision. I don't know what he was thinking. You know, Greg is a real good coach, but, you know, he tends to be a little outrageous, and he was given complete autonomy of the defense by Adam Gase. And, I mean, the whole thing just didn't make any sense. I mean, when you see a Hail Mary, now it wasn't thrown as a Hail Mary, obviously, but in those situations, you see like a 3 or 4 man rush and everybody else is back, kind of guarding the 5 yard line to make sure nobody can get through. The Jets rushed 8. The Raiders sent 3 men down the field, and the Jets had 3 defenders. Everybody was singled. And they had a rookie undrafted corner on the guy who might be, besides Tyreek Hill, the fastest player in the league.
Right.
Who does that? So I think with all the negativity surrounding that, and Marcus May, the defensive captain, and you know, a really respected team leader, being critical of Williams after the game, I think it would have been very tough for him to continue. And let's face it, what's the difference? The whole staff is getting fired in 4 weeks. So this gives Williams an early jump on finding a new job for next year.
Respectfully, I got about 90 seconds. What do you think of the Giants? Do you think they can finish it off and make the playoffs?
Well, they had the tiebreaker over Washington. I mean, that was a big win by Washington tonight in Pittsburgh, kind of matching what the Giants did in Seattle. But the Giants are playing really well. They've won 4 in a row. They've played well most of the season. They should have won more than 5 games so far. They blew a bunch of games early on.
Right,
it looks like, I think the bottom line that comes out of this season, it looks like they have their coach. And I think Daniel Jones is pretty good. And he played really well. He didn't play Sunday, but he stopped turning the ball over the last couple of times that he started. And if he can continue on that trend, he can make all the throws. He's very athletic. He's a real threat running the ball. And their defense has really surprisingly played very well. If the Giants make the playoffs, they're not going very far. But I think next year, with a strong free agency signing period and a good draft, they can be contenders to go deep into the playoffs.
That's great. I was excited watching him play yesterday, and I'm a Steeler fan, but I was enjoying watching the Giants give Seattle problems and finishing that game off and winning. I thought it was really impressive. Gary, always good to catch up. Congrats on the podcast, the GOAT, and of course, happy holidays to you, your family, health. I hope it's fantastic. Stay out of the way of the COVID. Enjoy the holidays and happy New Year. Always good catching up, brother.
Thanks so much, Scott. You be well, and I hope to talk to you soon.
All right, there he is, Gary Myers on the bench. So shout out to the church. I saw someone said that I'm on the Washington bandwagon now. And I mean, you must be tripping, dude. I've never liked them my whole life. I don't have any interest in them whatsoever. Never have, never will. I bet on them with the spread. That was it. I mean, what more do you want? You think I like watching the Steelers lose? I'm a Steeler fan my whole life, and diehard. You know what I mean? Like, brainwashed my kids, the whole deal on the Steelers. They're Steeler fans. We're all Steeler fans in this house. It is what it is. I don't care what anybody thinks of my fandom with the Steelers. It's pretty well documented. But to suggest I'm on the Washington bandwagon, you just have to be drunk. I mean, like, I bet on them, or that Alex Smith's a good quarterback? Like, that makes me a fan. Like, you got to be half stoned. I don't care whether they come or go, but every game that's on the board, I got to bet on. So I do. You know, I'm always talking about games and picking games and watching games and talking about games and doing matchups. And the Bills are just putting a beating on the Niners right now. They just scored again. Gabriel Davis, a 28-yard TD reception, standing all alone, cooking hot dogs in the end zone. Literally, this guy was so all alone, it wasn't even funny. And Now, I don't know if that was, I can't tell with the long hair. Was that Sherman on him? I think it might have been. I could be wrong. Sherman just got roasted if that was him. I don't know if it was. You know, I've heard all this talk about Sherman not going to re-sign with the Niners. And I heard Levy tonight say he's a Hall of Famer. He's going to the Hall of Fame. And he did have a great decade. There's no doubt about it. And all kinds of Pro Bowls, like five of them. He won a Super Bowl. He had tons of picks. He was undeniably great when he was with Seattle. And now he's, you know, pretty washed up, I think. That's the deal. Like, don't you think, Mafia, do you think Richard Sherman has much left? He says he's not going to re-sign with the Niners because I don't think they want him. So he looks old to me. And he's definitely not the player he was, but he was great when he played in Seattle. There's no getting around that. But do you think he's starting to look washed up?
Yeah, I think his body's just given out on him, it seems like, these last couple of years. I feel like he's had a lot of injury issues, you know, but now games here, games there, you know, never for the most part, like a whole season or a ton. It's just like every now and then it's a game or two, and then he comes back and then he gets hurt again. So I think that's the problem, not necessarily the drive or the talent. It's just the body's not sticking with him anymore.
Yeah, and what do you think of the Bills tonight? I mean, they're killing them. At the beginning of the game, they had, they went down to the goal line, and then the Niners stopped them, got the ball, marched all the way down the field, got to the, like, 1 or 2 yard line, and then the Bills stopped them on fourth down, and then on first down from the 1 yard line, Buffalo snaps it, and Allen hands off to Moss, the rookie, and he fumbled the ball, and then the Niners pounced on the ball, and I think it was Warner, and then they scored, right? Ayuk scored, and then they were up 7-0. But since then, right, I mean, because Buffalo went down and tied it, and then since that point, they've just kicked their ass. I mean, they have lit them up.
Yeah, they're handling their business. I mean, this is a team in San Francisco that's obviously resilient. We saw them beat the Rams. We've seen them bounce back from all these injuries, and despite still not having Garoppolo in there, you know, they're playing tough, they're playing strong, but Buffalo went in there. You know, this is a situation where it's not even, you know, you're not even going to their home stadium. Not that that matters right now with COVID and fans not being there in many places, but, you know, they long trip out west on the primetime game, and they're doing what they need to do. They're, you know, kicking their ass, and they're just handling their business. They're not, you know, slacking and taking it easy. They know that they're a tough team, and they're taking it to them, and that's good. They need to get back and, you know, get strong. They've had some games this year where they've gotten wins, but, you know, like you ripped into Carver High, that it's not like they looked dominant. It's kind of like they just get by. And if you want to be, you know, that good team in the playoffs and get some wins, you got to look better. And they're starting to put it to a team like they should in San Francisco, looking like the team that they should, looking like the AFC East leaders.
3-score game now, up 34-17 with just under 10 minutes to go. They need to score, quickly, the Niners with Mullins, because they're in big trouble in this one. There's no doubt about it. I was looking back at thinking of some of the games from Sunday or whatever, and I was looking at the, you know, we talked about it today on Coast to Coast, the fallout from the Eagles loss to the Packers, right? And I know that they benched Wentz, and then they brought in Hurts. Hurts threw a touchdown. But it wasn't like I was bowled over or overwhelmed by anything he did. And it's not like I think the kid was great in college, to be honest with you. I thought he was, frankly, great at Alabama, and I thought he was even better at Oklahoma. I thought Jalen Hurts had a great college career, and now he's kind of it's like they don't know exactly what they want his identity to be on this team, right? They put him in, and then – like, it's like, I remember on the show today, Adam Kaplan was talking about it. They should have never let Wentz come out in the second half and start the, you know, first possession. They should have just gone with Hurts and then, you know, stuck with him the whole second half and see what happens. Instead, they bring Wentz out, and he did the first series, and then they went to Hurts, which I thought was kind of weird. And we've talked at great length about the money. I mean, they owe this guy so much money. Wentz, he's got a gigantic contract, and they can't get rid of him. He's not going anywhere. they would take a $60 million cap hit with this guy. You know, they can't shed this contract. I mean, the guy's stuck in Philly. That's all there is to it. And what we talked about today with Adam Kaplan is that somebody's got to fix him, right? And he's definitely doing everything wrong. And he's been throwing off his back leg. He's been all over the place. Adam talked about his arm angle. And he just looks terrible to me. Like, what did he throw for 78 yards in that game? He was like, you know, just porous numbers. And I mean, he threw 15 passes. He just looks like he's a mess. Like, he doesn't look like the guy that everybody was so high on. We all know the story out of North Dakota State. And then his first year, he was amazing and then gets injured. And then we know Foles went to the Super Bowl, got the Super Bowl MVP, and Peterson won the Super Bowl. They beat the Patriots, and everybody was so high on Peterson and on the Eagles. And then ever since then, they've really been kind of a train derailment. I mean, that's just all there is to it. They're just flying off the tracks. Mafia, I don't know if you have this Hurts and Wentz comments about, you know, what's going on. I think Hurts just wants to make the most of it. He wants to play. And I don't think he wants to.
Any experience and any opportunity to touch the field, it only kind of raises the value of that player. It's kind of been that way all year. And, you know, today Coach gave me that opportunity, you know, with all my heart. Had every intention on coming in and getting it done and winning the game, but we came up short. And that only lights a fire in everybody, you know, in everybody moving forward, whether how it looks, however it looks, the objective in this game is to win. So just got to keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing and believe.
Well, I think he's going to get his shot. I think it's going to make Peterson look really bad if he goes back to Wentz again this week against the Saints. I mean, we talked about it today on the show that the players are going to turn on him, that they've, you know, lost confidence in their quarterback, that they realize Wentz has been awful and that they know he's been bad. They know he's not practicing well. They know he's not playing well in games. And that they want to change. They were probably stoked to see Hurts get in there. But as far as Wentz goes, he claims, and we have the sound, that he's not worried about being benched.
I never like to think like that. You know, obviously there's been a lot of chatter. I've had to, you know, field a lot of questions, you know, over the last handful of weeks. But I don't let my mind go there at the end of the day. I'm a competitor, and when I'm out on that field, whether it's practice or a walkthrough or a game, you know, I'm going to leave it all on the field and do everything I can. And today, that's what I did. You know, I don't think I played my best, but I did everything I could. And at the end of the day, I came out of the game, and it's not my call.
Well, it sure isn't. Can you imagine this guy making $30 million and he's going to sit on the bench? I mean, Pharrell on the bench. I just think that he's just awful. It's just, there's no getting around it. There's really nothing else to say. He has fallen off, you know, the diving board into the deep end. He just does not look good at all. And it is an amazing fall from grace because, you know, when he got injured, he blew out his knee. Then he hurt his back. And he's just never been the same. And no one ever really talks about really the injuries making him play this badly. They just say, yeah, he had a couple seasons where he hurt his knee in that great first year, and then he hurt his back, and then he had to, then he, you know, started coming back and he was doing well and blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line is that, you know, what's the excuse this time? I mean, there is none. He's not injured. He's taken a lot of abuse in the pocket, that's for sure. Because he looks like he's just all over the place, discombobulated, happy feet. He doesn't look like he knows what he's going to do, what he wants to do, or what he's doing. It's just a guessing game. It's like he's just seeing if he can pull it off or you know, sling it and you know, make something happen, and it's not working. I think they have a lot more problems on that team than just I know everyone wants to blame him and Peterson and nothing else, but, you know, I've heard how, you know, stingy their defense is, and that's nonsense too. I mean, if they're so stingy, how come they never win? I mean, that's just all there is to it. If they're so good, how come all they do is lose? Now, I don't know what's happening here. They scored a touchdown, the Niners, and they took it back after further review. Now it's third and goal, and they don't get in there. I guess they do get in eventually. I think they blew the whistle, though, when he was stopping. There's a flag on the play. I don't know if you saw what happened, Moff, but they were in the end zone. They scored. I can't sit here and do the show and watch and call and know exactly what's happening. But I know that they were in the end zone. They scored, didn't they?
Yeah, they had the receiver get in there, it looked like. But I think they said that the ball where he was holding it kind of was down in his gut and his upper body went over, but it wasn't far enough. So they put him really down on like the 6-inch line. But now on that third down, they call him for false start. So even though he got pushed in by Mostert, it's not going to count.
And it looked like, unless I'm crazy, that even when he tried to get in, it looked like he may have fumbled, but they blew the whistle, called a, you know, illegal procedure, moved the ball back. Now they're at third and goal at around the 5-yard line. And I mean, all night long, when they've been inside that 5-yard line or anywhere near that goal line, they have not really been able to be effective. I know they threw the one TD to Ayuk, but they have not been effective getting anywhere on this Buffalo defense. The Bills defense is very tough, very stingy, and they have held their own at that goal line tonight. And I think that's really been the difference in the game for the Bills, is their defense making these huge stops at the goal line. Tre'Davious White with a huge interception of Mullins. That's going to do it, right? I mean, that was their chance. They were at the 5-yard line. They had scored, and then the refs took the score away from them, and they put the ball at the 1, and then they had an illegal procedure, and then they move it back to the 5, and then Mullins throws the pick. White with his third pick in 4 games. Once he got healthy, he started playing like his old self from the last, you know, like last year, I thought he was just sickening. He tortured the Steelers when they played him in Pittsburgh. And then obviously he's playing great right now. And then they're playing the Bills next this week. So they're playing in Buffalo on Sunday against the Bills. The Steelers, after losing tonight to Washington, they're now 11-1. So their undefeated season ends. I never thought for 1 minute, I really didn't, that they would go undefeated. I never even considered it. Or frankly, even hoped for it, because I just felt like there's no way that team was going to win every single game. I thought the Buffalo game was going to be too hard. I thought the Indy game was going to be a problem. And I thought the last game, believe it or not, against the Browns was going to be a problem in Cleveland. And I think they play Cincinnati in the other game. So, look, I think they might lose very well in Buffalo on Sunday to this team. I think the Bills are really good. I do. They're going to be 9-3, just like the Browns. I think both of those teams are sneaky good. And let me tell you why. And when we come back, we'll play, you know, I think I got some Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb for you. But the way they pound the ball and the way they run it and control the clock and they manage their offense around the ground game and then the play action. No one respects Baker Mayfield until he lights your bong for 4 touchdown passes yesterday in that first half, and the Titans were dust. I just thought they looked incredible to me. I couldn't believe what I was watching when I saw Mayfield have that first half. So believe me, you, when the Steelers play in Cleveland that last game, if they were undefeated going into that game, I thought they would have lost. Now that they've lost, I still think they could have problems with Buffalo, Indy, and the Browns.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Moro Casino,
America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.